Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
I'm not sure whether that was just me, but that sounded suspiciously like yesterday's weather on there. But there you go. Yesterday, the overnight's weather was, well, whatever he said it was. Welcome to another week of From the Terraces. I've got Matt in the studio, and we've got, hopefully, Steve on the phone, possibly Mark, haven't heard from him. Stewie, unfortunately, is not well today, so hope he's feeling a bit better this morning. We've got Lance on the phone, and we've got Robbie on the phone. Lots to talk about this week. I've left my paper in the... Could you do me a favour and grab my paper from in there? Because I was gonna do a really good introduction, and now I can't because I left the paper there. If you were one of the 100 that travelled to Newport yesterday, then commiserations. I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about the Newport game. That will take up a fair proportion of our time. Then we've got Histon. At least there's someone we can look to good news. Histon win again, having won midweek. Now top of the league with games in hand and looking good. City apparently threw away points against Dunstable. So we'll hopefully be talking to Robbie later on. And then in the women's football, we've got Histon, who lost, I believe, to Bowers and Pitsey, is an interesting name. But no, they must have won, actually, because I thought it was an FA Cup game. We'll come back to that one later on. The Cambridge United women, they beat Harlow in the FA Cup 6-0, and the development team won 4-1. And then City didn't play, but we'll be talking about their FA Cup draw next week. And if you've gone to get in touch with us, you can all the usual ways. You can email us at studio@cambridge105.co.uk. That's studio@cambridge105.co.uk. Or text us on 07919 070 490. Especially if you were one of the 100-odd fans that travelled up to Newport yesterday, then please do let us know what you thought, because we'll be letting you know what we thought fairly shortly. We'll take a break and come back. No, we won't. I haven't even started. We can't take a break yet. We'll play the jingle and then we'll come back and talk about United. I went up yesterday, and as with the other 100-odd fans that went up there, we saw one of the best games of football for 25 minutes. And then we saw one of the worst games of football. Joe Dunn said it was his worst day in football outside of the day of his retirement, which has got to be saying something. I mean, a footballer who's played professional football, even in a fairly short career like Joe had, must have had more, should have thought, had more disappointment than that, but terrible. And, I don't think I've ever... Even at the Luton game when we got beaten 7-0, I think I was just about asking for my money back there, but fans paid an awful lot of money to get down to that game and got capitulation, I think is the best you can call it, really.
I think it's the lightest word you can call it.
Yeah, Tim. Well, most of them we couldn't say on the radio.
Absolutely,
so.
And it's going to be a theme of our little section here. Fortunately, I didn't go, so I only had to get angry listening to the radio. Gutless, absolutely spineless, the lot of them, and... you know, as you say, for 25, 30 minutes, everything was going well. The new tactical formation, it was surprising everybody and working. They were playing well. Looking at the highlights, two very well-taken goals by Reggie Lamb, who, you know, sort of getting 45 minutes of half-decent football from now. And then, how do you describe the mistake for half-time? The penalty is brainless. Absolutely brainless.
Okay, I've seen kids football where they don't realise the consequences of what they're doing, and they'll hack down somebody without even a thought for where they are on the pitch or what it'll actually mean. But I'm sorry, Liam O'Neill, that is you. so many things can go wrong that you can criticise the team or you can criticise the manager. But when it comes to that, the only you can just look at him and go, why? Liam, why would you do that? Why would you make such a stupid challenge? Apparently, we were on the wrong side, so obviously couldn't see his face. But apparently, the whoever he pushed down was shocked, because not because he got a penalty, but because he just didn't expect to be taken out, because he couldn't figure out why. And to give away that penalty, I mean, yeah. Just so late in the half, all we had to do was hang on for another 2 minutes and we go in leading 2-0, and it would have been a completely different game, I suspect. But just as we've seen goals, what was it, the Carlisle game, you know, that goal before half time, and you can guarantee, or it seems to be becoming a guarantee, that you can, you know, you can destroy us in the second half, and that seems to be the way it works.
Yeah, I mean, as I say, we concede a stupid goal, a brainless goal, a brainless penalty. As far as I'm concerned, the man should never wear a United shirt ever again. And we're such a soft touch, you know, we're so, so soft, and we're so brittle mentally, physically, tactically, all of them, you know. And as soon as that goal went in, I think probably everybody, the whole United fans and everybody else who, you know, don't even follow United, thought they're going to lose this game. And we were absolutely all spot on. And, you know, you have to point the finger in that second half performance at absolutely everyone, from, you know, the players to the management. And, you know, it's silly, really, how the fact that we, you know, a Newport team who can see that their game plan is not working, change around early in the first half and go 4-4-2, and, you know, bring on another striker and start, you know, getting at us after they go 2-0 down.
So this was the issue we were talking about when they had to make a forced substitution through injury after about 10-15 minutes.
Yeah.
You think, oh, that's going to be bad for them later on. And then when they made another substitution after we were 2-0, you think, well, that's max of desperation and it's going to leave them really short at the end of the game. And then lo and behold, they bought someone who could play football, and at the same time, they obviously, it's like, you know, I'm trying to think of the Harry Potter spell that makes you forget things, but whatever that spell is, they obviously cast that on two centre-halves who couldn't do anything about him. It was just ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the problem, you know, just as a team, as a management team as well, just slow to react. Nobody's got a voice on the pitch, off the pitch, you know, we just don't seem to have any idea. It seems to be, as soon as we concede a goal, our heads go down, and then we just bottle job another game. And it's an absolute disgrace. They're a disgrace at the moment, and they need to really, really buck their ideas up, because we're starting to really get close to nail-biting time, and we're only starting going into October, because if we don't start picking up points soon, we'll be cast adrift by Christmas time.
So, right, let's come. I want to play. There's so much to talk about in Joe's interview, and it's quite long. So, I want to play this now, and then we'll come back and talk about it. And we'll Keith and Lynch have both texted in. So, let's listen to what Joe had to say following the game, though.
So, Joe, 2-0 up and cruising to capitulation. Lots of thinking for you to do now.
Yeah, I suppose there's a lot of thinking to do. The goal just before the half time just totally changed their mentality. Changed their, well, something I've spoken about before. You know, we spoke about it at half-time. Let's talk about staying in the game in the next 15 minutes. Work even harder. Do what we did in the first half, because I thought the first half was tactically spot on. Controlled a lot of how they played. We defended the box. They had set plays. We broke. We scored. It was perfect. And then there was a really stupid penalty. And then after that, the whole second half was stupidity. That's the disappointing thing. We even mentioned, you know, even if they got this equaliser, just, we felt we had control of areas that we could attack from, but we unfortunately didn't show enough grit, determination and will to battle and fight. And in the second half, that's what you get, I'm afraid. And we've had it before, and we've had it today. And we've got to make sure that we keep on having it. But unfortunately, we didn't defend. It was a really bad performance from a defensive point of view and a team point of view, especially in the second half.
And you went with what was an intriguing formation, almost like a box midfield, and I guess that was designed to just control those central areas, give you an attacking option and just protect the back four, and it looked to be working so well.
We worked on it all week. It's not about ability, training, coaching. It's about your gut instinct and will to be able to fight and dig in. I can't coach that. It has to come from you. It has to come from within. I can only try and coax it out from a tactical point of view. It was spot on. We wanted to get up. We wanted to get 1-0 up. We felt if we scored one, we'd get two. Just based on previous games that we studied and looked at in previous games against them, even the ones, you know, obviously we've lost. But when we got ourselves 2-0 up, I felt we were going to get another one. We had control. We had to get to half time, and when the board went up, and then it's just a crazy penalty to give away. But even then, we're still 2-1 up, and that's when the second half becomes probably my worst day in football, other than the day I retired. Being 2-0 up and losing here 4-2, it shouldn't be happening. But unfortunately, it has. We've capitulated on Leeds before when we've given away goals at that key time in the game. So anybody now that's playing us are probably thinking that's all you got to do, and that's all they did second half. He brought on Jamel, Matt, and we couldn't defend against them. Couldn't just do the basics of defending against a striker who's come on and, you know, really changed the game for Newport.
And such a frustration because, as you say, 2-0 up, brilliantly taking goals from Reggie Lamb as well.
Well, I'm desperately disappointed for one of the best goals I've been involved in. A solo individual goal. He didn't deserve to end up on a team that lost in that way. But we've got to win and lose as teams, and unfortunately we're losing as a team at the moment, and got to show some real big kahunas to be able to stand up Tuesday night and for the rest of the season, not just now. A lot of decisions will probably be out of my hands, if you like. I can only get the team ready and get them pumped for Tuesday. I shouldn't need a team talk Tuesday, but we're 10 games in, we find ourselves 20th in the league. That's not good enough. It's unacceptable. Not from the kind of quality that we have within the group. I just wish the players would find a bit more desire and fight and hunger to be able to win games as did Newport. You know, we lack that in our team. You don't know rocket science to work it out that Newport are in the top three. They've got good players and they've got a real hunger and desire not to lose, not to get beat. You know, we try to keep on top in games, but unfortunately we don't have the confidence to be able to stop goals going in, and that's cruel. And after 10 games we're 20th.
And you mentioned the penalty being a real turning point. And I think that's exactly right. But likewise, the substitution, the Jamel Matt coming on, they just tweaked things around a little bit. Why do you think it was so difficult for your team to deal with that?
Well, when he came on, I thought we were still okay in the game. Basically, what happened is the goal goes in. The penalty, we give away a stupid penalty, it goes in. And then it's just like, you've got to find clarity. It's a mind thing. You've got to find the reset, refresh. We're still leading. Continue to do the things we've done. Deal with the striker. You've got two centre-backs against one striker. Just do your job. Just do your job. And then as a back four, do your job. Stop crosses, head it out, kick it out. We did it in the first half. So they've gone from two up front with one in behind to only one up front. That's bad. It's just incredible. And, you know, it's just a horrendous way to lose a game.
Yeah, there's 27 goals conceded now in the 12 games. We don't like talking about it, but it's a raw fact.
Yeah. You can talk about everything you want. That's your job. My job is to stand here and talk about it. I can't defend it. You know, maybe we need to get to January and shake things up, because 27 goals after 10 games, unacceptable. And to be fair, if you concede that amount of goals, you're going to be down the bottom of the league, aren't you? Where we are right now after 10 games probably reflects it, unfortunately. And only us as a group, as a team, as a staff can get ourselves out of this. But if we can't up until January, well then maybe, you know, it needs a freshness. It needs recruitment. And we can't do anything until January. So players have got to book up, take responsibility. I put a lot of trust and belief in them, and I need them to stand up now. We need them to stand up as a club, as a Cambridge, as a county, to be able to stand up and be counted. Because, as you rightly say, that stat is not a pretty stat. But a lot of signs in the first half today of what we can achieve. But you're not going to achieve anything if you can't keep the ball in it. So, you know, players have got to take it on the chin. And, you know, I'd like to be able to say, well, we got a game Tuesday, it's coming up and blah de blah. But, you know, I'm just asking them now, like, turn up Tuesday in front of your own fans. And I dare you to do that again. You know, because if we do, well, it could be a long first half of the season.
And we've talked, I mean, many times about the psychological side of the game. It's probably underestimated how much of a part that plays. And it's so key now with the game against Forest Green, just three days away.
Yeah, well, another team who will, you know, be good with the ball, be expansive, you know, look to threaten. And why would you not attack us at the moment? Why would you not attack us? We picked the shape today and a team today that I thought was solid and looked that way for long periods, but then just organise yourselves. Where's the leaders on the pitch to organise and then get yourselves into position? Let's see this out, let's do it. Just look at each other. You know, it can't always be coming from the training pitch where we train these scenarios, we work these scenarios. We need players to be better. It's as simple as that. Players have to be better. And I'm a coach, and whatever you want to call me, somebody who don't really like criticising players, and I don't like doing that because we're a small group. You know, they've got to turn out, you know, and players will play and they'll rotate with injuries and so on, like David Amil missing today through injury this week. My job is to keep them going, but I have to sometimes ask them, hey, come on, you need to give a bit back, and we as a group need to give a bit back. Otherwise, as I said, it's going to be a tough first half of the season.
And you talked about leaders there. You look out on the pitch and there are some senior players there. Did you have a slight disappointment in the way they've reacted today?
I did, yeah. We've got quite a few senior lads in there. No one ever says anything anymore in the changing room. We just accept things. And I don't know, is that society? You know, in old changing rooms, and anyone will tell you, like, no way are you getting away with that? Managers don't even have to walk into changing rooms. You never used to have to walk in. Now you walk in, it's dead silent. No one says that. They're waiting for me. Maybe that's part of the problem. I see Newport today, I see their sub taking warm-ups, taking the subs for the, you know, getting into them and getting going. And I think not just senior pros have got to step up, I think everyone's got to step up, even the younger ones. You know what I mean? Fight or flight, innit? That's what it is, it's fight or flight. You know, how many of them can stand next to, how many are going to walk with? And that's what we needed today in that second half, to see out that first 15 minutes, as we did the last 15 minutes up until the goal in the first half. And we didn't. And that's what you get. And one becomes two becomes three quickly. And then it's a case of, is it going to be four or five? Obviously, Reggie had a chance to make a 4-3, which probably would have changed the tone a little bit, but they had their game plan perfect. Get into them, lads, because they'll melt. And unfortunately, we did.
It's all very raw, of course, Joe, but just 3 days away, as we said, from Forest Green Rovers. You have to, I guess, look at some of the positive.
Look, I'm a very optimistic guy who looks at life in a positive way, because, you know, darkness is bad, you know what I mean? Yeah, there are good positives from the first half, but I can't stand here and say to any of you guys or anyone listening at home, and pull the wool over your eyes, there's not many when you're 2-0 up and lose 4-2 with an inept second half performance like that. I'd never do that, but we will say to Reggie, and we have done a wonderful goal, wonderful solo goal, nearly got a hat-trick. That's a real positive. I think he's been playing really well lately. But I'm not going to pull the wool over anyone's eyes and say I'm happy and there's loads of positive stuff there, because there's not many. There's not many.
Yeah, you're right. let me put this out here. I like Joe Dunn. I think he's a really nice bloke. He's easy to get on with, and he's got lots of time for us. But I think the amount of honesty that he gives actually probably isn't going to do him any favours. It's just concerning that we've had the capitulation talk before, and it's the second time he's said that he can't do anything about it. And you kind of think, well, if the problem with the players is that if they concede, they capitulate, they just sit back and watch the game go by, and if there's nothing that he can do about it, then where do we go from there? Because it's kind of like, I mean, he said, you know, we get to January and we might need to freshen up. We might need to, you know, recruit. Well, I don't think there's any might be about it. We knew we needed to recruit up front. So it can't come as any surprise, even if we were playing well, that you wouldn't be thinking about recruiting in January. We were hoping there'd be loan players coming in at the end of the window, but it didn't happen. But I meant to write down exactly what he said, but he effectively said, well, there's nothing we can do till January. So that's it. So we're just going to write off the next bit of the season as there's nothing we can do about this. And you made the point, is that, you know, you can't just get away. You can't let, a manager can't let people. I know he says he doesn't like to shout at people, but he's got to, because you cannot let them get away with the senior players particularly, but across the team. If there's no one leading the club on the pitch, then okay. If they're on the pitch and there's no leadership, then it is difficult for any manager to do anything about it. But he's got to get it into them before they go out onto the pitch. He can't accept that kind of behaviour. He can't say, I can't coach that. It's got to come from the players. Because if it doesn't, what do you do?
Well, if he turns around and he says he can't coach it and there's nothing that he can do about it, then he shouldn't be in the job. And it's as simple as that, really.
That's kind of the assumption you've almost got to make.
You know, whether he's the manager or a head coach, if that dressing room's silent, well, he needs to be the loudest voice in that changing room and getting stuck into these players, because, you know, as we've said week in, week out almost on this show, you know, the capitulations and, you know, the gutless, spineless performances they've been putting in recently. If the experienced players aren't going to stand up and start talking to these players and pointing fingers and all that, well, he needs to get in there and do it, because that's his job. At the end of the day, his remit is to get into them and get them sorted out. And if he's failing that as well, then questions need to be asked about his position. I've said off air to you, and I've said it to everybody else, you know, Newport, as soon as they were 2-0 down, reacted tactically, went out and went at us, because they could see that potentially, they could, if they got a goal, they'd get back into this game. What did we do? we waited until we were 4-2 down and then brought on Paul Lewis and then waited another couple of minutes before we brought on Barry Corr. We didn't react at all. There's absolutely no reaction. As soon as the second goal went in, Joe Dunn needed to be looking at it and going, right, what can I do to stem this tide? Why don't we slow the game down? Why don't we do niggly fouls? Why don't we waste time like all the other teams do? Instead, we're just so nice about it. Oh, go on, have another goal. Hey, you know.
But is that, I mean, if he says he can't tell, you know, if he can't tell his players off, is that, you know, we've talked about this in the past about kind of we're a bit too sporting about the whole thing. We're not physical enough, you know. You've got Gary Deegan there who, you know, he should be doing the Norman Hunter kind of, you know, if you can't beat the team, then, you know, take them out. Yeah. That's what happens to us all the time. And, it's not attractive, but it's football and it wins games, or at least you don't lose games. And at the moment, we need to do anything we can to get to that stage. And I think, you know, the admission that, you know, he admit almost came out and said, well, you know, I'm at a loose end. I really don't know what to do next. And that's not what you want to hear your coach saying at this stage of the season, because it's going to make it a very long season. Mm. I mean, you know, I've always thought that you know, halfway up the table, perhaps a little bit lower. But I genuinely think if we carry on like this, unless we can get out of the way in which we're playing now, then I think we're fighting for 24th to 20th. I think we're fighting to avoid relegation, and in some respects hoping that teams below us don't get it together. Notts County will get it together and they will come out of that bottom four. Mm. And that will leave us with a problem that we hope Macclesfield will do nothing. But the rest of the clubs down there, they can put runs together like we can, and it's going to become a real serious problem. And I think, you know, if we're not doing something about it now, January is just going to be too late. We could be far too many points adrift. We're only three off the relegation spot as it is. Okay, it's early, so that's not, you know, not surprising, but you can't just sit back and say there's nothing I can do about it, let's wait till January. That's just not on. Keith's texted in saying, football's been ruined by the financial gulf that exists between the Premier League and lower division side. It does, however, cultivate a growing belief among so-called professionals that they require agents, long-term contracts and astronomical wages. They're as responsible as the EPL millionaires for dragging the game into disrepute. This is absolutely the case if the rumours are true about how much Cambridge United play Liam O'Neill. I understand their rumours, but even if they're close to the truth, then we're truly on a downward spiral until we can get all these no-good chances and embarrassing prima donnas off our books. Our recruitment policy needs to be massively overhauled and lessons need to be learned. As far as this season and possibly next season are concerned, we need to ride out this absolute poop storm or mess, if you prefer, for radio purposes. Can't comment on the match as I wasn't there yesterday. Well done to the 111 who made the effort. If the squad made half the commitment and effort that the fans do, we might not be in this position. Here's hoping there are two teams worse than us in this week's division. Newport are somehow second with probably a smaller budget, so theirs isn't obviously competitive like ours. It isn't strange that there's 80 places between us. Very tough games against Lincolnshire and MK Dons. Well, very tough game against Forest Green coming up on Tuesday, never mind those two. Hard to see where our next win might come from. Grimsby maybe we can, but probably can spar to give them a win too. We could be a laughing stock by 9:45 on Tuesday when we lose to the Eco Warriors. I'm annoyed. Yeah, we're all annoyed. Lynchy says, going to keep this short as we seem to say the same things week in, week out. A few choice words for our performance yesterday, which you can air. Gutless, spineless, embarrassing, a joke, heartless, tactically rubbish, fragile, and I could go on. Rumours have it, O'Neill gets paid $3,000 a week. That's a joke in itself if he does. Seriously, what the hell was he doing? The player and the ball were heading away from the goal, so why push him over? And how the hell does Taft walk straight back into the team after 1 week? His performances this season have been shocking with countless mistakes, and yet again he was at fault for a goal. As soon as we conceded that goal, I said to Matt, get core on and change our tactics, as it was so obvious we were going to crumble again. Why wait until we concede four before we bring on a striker? I'm absolutely fuming and really do fear the worst this season. I believe we've already conceded well over 25 goals. I think it's 27 this season, and 8 alone against Newport. I mean, yeah, there's kind of, sometimes you can argue with fans, but there's literally no arguing with this. I mean, I think, you know, Twitter was unanimous in its criticism of the performance and the way in which we folded, and I don't think anyone can really argue, you know, with what happened. You can argue about, you know, why it's happening. You can argue about what we need to do, but I think one of the things we need to do is, you know, just take a step back and look. Take that report, that post-match interview, and re-listen to it on Monday and think, you know, well, OK, I said that. I can't say that, you know, so I need to do something about it. We need to think about, you know, what there is. And the difficulty is that if Joe's not the right man for the job, then, you know, what do we do? I mean, we've given him a 3-year contract. You know, it's going to be very difficult to do anything about that, you know, unless you spend money that we don't have on a manager that really we want players. You know, I'm not sure where we go from here.
We need a big character, whether it's somebody to come in and assist Joe, because we need somebody with a little bit of know-how next to him and somebody that is going to be that tough nut. And that's the polite words in the dressing room right now, because if Joe's going to be too nice to them, we need somebody who's not afraid to go in there and really tell these players the truth about how bad they really are and, you know, start pointing some fingers. You know, we need a good guy, bad guy thing. Unfortunately, it seems we've got too many good guys here. And then secondly, we need the board to start looking at this and think, well, if we're relying on January, hell, they must have some great players lined up for us to sign in January to get us out of this mess. We're an absolute shambles of a club from top to bottom, and we're an absolute disgrace. If you ever thought that this team was good enough on a competitive budget to go anywhere, you must have rose-tinted yeah. spectacles, and it's not good enough. You know, the problem is, you know, Joe can point to January and say things need to, you know, change in January, but he needs to do something about it now, because that's his job, that's his remit as head coach. The board needs to be going to Joe and saying, okay, what can we do right now to help you? Because at the end of the day, it's Joe who's going to be hung out to dry when all this is falling apart, because they're all hidden in their bunkers doing God knows what, because we don't know, because we don't see any board members around in the football club anymore. We barely hear from them, and it's absolutely unacceptable that this club is looking like a rudderless ship just going nowhere. Well, I say we're going nowhere, we're going back to tin pot non-league football.
That's the worry, isn't it? If you look at it, you know, if heaven forbid we go down, where does that leave the club? You have to look at it and think we'll go out of business if that happens.
I mean, it's a tough one. Obviously, yeah, everybody's fear is we will go out of business, but then the question comes, why would Paul Barry put the amount of money he put in to keep this club afloat? So if we go down, yeah, the problem is that he's going to fork out more, because attendances were full. The you know, and that's not from home fans, that's from all over the ground. Interest will fall, and yes, for one season maybe we'll be considered a big club in non-league football, but can we pay the non-league top wage? No, I don't think so. And we've still got a few of these players
surely if we've got a competitive budget for League Two, we should wipe the floor with,
well, that's it, with, yeah, we'll go up, and you know, with 100 yeah. points. But you know, but at the end of the day, we're a mess, and it needs to be sorted out. Yeah. And the next few fixtures, I mean,
I was just looking at the fixtures, and you know, if you look at what's there, Forest Green, Crawley, forget the Southampton game, MK Dons, Lincoln, Swindon, Macclesfield, there's a game we can win end of October. Then you've got Grimsby, there's a game we can win start of November. Then you've got Colchester, Oldham, Bury, Crewe. Then you've got Tranmere, Yeovil, Morecambe, there's a game we can win, Crawley and Lincoln. That's to the end of the year. You can identify three games that we might stand a chance of winning. I mean, it could literally be as bad as that.
Yep, absolutely. And you can, as I say, you say Crawley, we've actually done all right recently at Crawley. It's quite scary. So, you know, maybe they'll surprise us and actually do all right there. But really and truly, after that Crawley game, you're looking at defeat, 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 and then Macclesfield, which becomes a six-pointer.
It does, doesn't it?
Of the high,
By the end of October, we're playing a six-pointer.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing. Well, two six-pointers in Macclesfield and Grimsby both at home. And if we don't pick up 6 points there, we might as well all pack up and, yeah, you know, start planning our trips to Havant and Waterlooville next year, because that's the way it will go. And Oldham are a bit hit and miss. Bury are hit and miss. Crewe, well, again, it's another place we've done well, but they'll probably beat us 4-5-0. Tranmere are doing okay. Yeovil, in recent years, you turn around and say, yeah, we should win that one in December, but we probably won't win that one. And then you've got another six-pointer just before Christmas away at Morecambe. But, I mean, that'll probably get called off, so that'll save us. Yeah. That'll be the time when we just hang on, because every game will get called off and we'll be 22nd. So...
yeah, it's... I've kind of been optimistic, but genuinely, you know, I think now that unless we see Joe react to this, then I genuinely see struggling to stay out of the relegation zone. You know, not mid-table, not even lower mid-table, yeah. But I think, you know, we are actually in trouble. And the problem is, I mean, 111 to go to Newport, it's not a lot. We've had more in the past, you know, we've had 50% more than that going before now. And I think the home game on last Saturday, I think, was just under 4,000. Mm-hmm. That's the first below 4,000 that isn't a Chequer Trade or Tin Pot Trophy or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's what will happen, unfortunately, is that people will, you know, vote with their feet and they won't come and watch. And the financial difficulties get worse. And then everything else kind of spirals from there. So, you know...
Everybody needs to wake up. The management need to wake up. The players really need to wake up and, you know, start performing. You know, start playing for the pride in the shirt. You know, start... even if they know that their places aren't under threat because we've got nobody else. At least, you know, remember your professional... You could be potentially playing for your careers here because nobody will probably want to sign half of them because they're in a relegation team.
You know, George Maris may have been up for transfer in the last transfer window, but, you know, some of his form since those rumours have just not made... Mm-hmm. You know, they've not made him worth transferring at the moment. But, OK... Right, we'll take a break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Histon, who are managing to put together some results.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio with the Cambridgeshire Football Association. Promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things history.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise of the city.
Yeah, we'll be talking all things history, but at least somebody can win games and win games regularly. So Mark is available to join us, so we'll get on to him in a second. So midweek game against Walsham, a close 3-2 win, and then destroyed Wroxham 5-0 with Roll scoring hat-trick, York and Brown adding to the goals as well, which puts Histon top of the league, 18 points from 21. They've got games in hand over Stowmarket, who they play shortly, and others. So, and with an 18 goal difference as well. I mean, it's going fantastically well for them. Let's see if we can get hold of Mark. Hang on a second. I've got to find out. I should have done that before. I should have found him on the list, ready to phone him. But... let's see if we can get hold of him. It is ringing, so that's always a good sign. Hopefully he'll get there and talk to us. Hopefully. Oh. Are you there, Mark? Can you hear me? Yep, excellent. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, thanks. Pretty happy.
Well, you can't fail to be anything other than happy, can you? It goes, the season just gets better and better.
Yeah, it's, you know, stark contrast to, what was it, a couple of weeks ago when we were on the back of a couple of losses, but we responded perfectly well with a win a week ago, and then two wins this week against, you know, opposition in the top half of the table. So absolutely pleased and sitting on top of the pile at the moment. It's a good time to be a Histon.
And as I say, not only sitting on top of the league, but doing it with games in hand, 2 points clear, with two games over Stowmarket and one game against the next few. And of course, you've got a good set of fixtures coming up, because you've got Stowmarket on the 6th of October next Saturday. So a chance there to open up the gap even further. And then you've got Godmanchester coming up a couple of weeks after that. So some important fixtures coming up, which could see you moving further away.
Yeah, we've got ourselves into a really good position now, and not only that, but we've got you know, the players fired up and scoring goals, and you know, it's good to have people like Rolf and Brown doing well going into those crucial games, because it's going to give them all the confidence that they need to potentially nick some very important goals against Stowmarket and Godmanchester. And if we can pick up wins against those two, then you know, I think we start to then see a fair gap open up against those two. And it's what we want to see, because it's I suppose kind of what happened last season when Felix Stowe and Coggeshall started to run away with it towards kind of you know, getting on for the November sort of December period. It's when that real gap sort of developed. So if we can get ourselves into that position and get those two wins crucially, then you know, we really are looking quite strong. And you know, there'll be two big scalps, and then that will give us confidence, hopefully, to go on beyond that and keep the run going.
And I think, Kim, I mean, obviously we've talked about them scoring lots of goals, but also not conceding as well. And that's, you know, that's been the problem sometimes in the past, is that you've scored a lot, but the goal difference still hasn't been great. But that's certainly working at the moment for you as well.
Yeah, obviously a part of our game that I no doubt Lance would have wanted to have addressed and work on was that even though last season was very successful, we probably didn't keep out the goals as much as we wanted to. You know, even when we were winning, I think we were still, you know, susceptible to leaking the odd goal or two. So it's something that we're slowly starting to address. And yeah, a nice 5-0 win on Saturday was exactly what we wanted. And you know, we talk about goal scorers all over the pitch for us and how important that is, but you know, equally as important is we need to keep them out. And it looks as though things are starting to click together for us sort of in every single department on the pitch.
It certainly does. Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us, Mark. We'll see if we can get hold of Lance and have a chat with him. Thanks very much. Okay, so let's see if we can get hold of Lance. Bear with me a second while I bring Lance up on the system. Yeah, I mean, he must be. I mean, he was positive last week. He's going to be even more positive, I'm guessing, this week. So hopefully we'll manage to get hold of him, and he's around. It's ringing. So do we get Lance this week or not? Oh dear, it doesn't look. It'll go to his voicemail probably, and then he may phone us back. So yes, I think. It's gone to his voicemail. So let's just see if he calls us back. But yeah, I do wish that Histon would actually update their website, because it doesn't have these results in here. But yeah, Histon on 21, Stowmarket, who lost to Haverhill, I think. I think it was Haverhill this week. Stay on 19, so two points clear of them. Having played, it's 10 games to 8 games, so 2.2 games over them. Same as Godmanchester, and as I said, they've got both of those fixtures coming up. So the Stowmarket game is next Saturday, and then they've got Wisbech St Mary in the Challenge Cup, and then Colney Heath in the Vars. So the first game after that, so the next two league games, is Stowmarket first and then Godmanchester second, with just those two cup games in the middle of those. So as Mark said, a chance to open up
the league a little and start to put in some points, some daylight between them and the teams behind them. We'll move on, I think, and hopefully Lance might call us back, and if he does, we'll get him on later on. But we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Cambridge City.
Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio, with the Cambridgeshire Football Association, promoting football at all levels across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
So let's see if we can get Steve on the phone. But I'm not sure whether he went to see the game now, because he does get to see some away games. I'm not sure whether the last one, whether this one was. But let's see if he's going to answer the phone.
Hi, Tim.
Oh, hey, Steve. How you doing? Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I saw your tweet and a couple of other people talking about a poor season so far. It's only their own fault, and literally giving away goals. I mean, this was to get them their third win in a row, and it's not all doom and gloom, but people seem to have got a bit angry about it.
I think I was a bit frustrated, because it was a game that we dominated, really, honestly. So I put the tweet about drop points because it was a draw. I mean, putting a positive light on it, because it is true. We were on a three-game run. We haven't lost, but it felt a bit like a loss, because we've been in control of that game for long, long periods. I thought we played well. You know, perhaps the final ball wasn't there, but we've got the goal. We've deservedly gone ahead. And then, you know, I don't want to dig out goalkeeper, because you know, he knows he's made another error, but it is just another error that has a big error that's cost us 2 points. And you know, you can blame the whole team and say we should have been out, you know, got the game out of sight. And that's always been the problem, when even last season, you know, when we played well, we haven't got that second. You need that second goal, or two goal cushion, because while there's only one, you know, other teams have a sniff. And it's just frustrating, because it's just such a silly goal to let in. He's basically, you know, been kind of lost the concentration. He's just kicked it straight to the striker, who hasn't had to move. He's just kind of, it's almost hit him and gone back in. And it's just such a silly goal, and it feels like a defeat. But look, I put the tweet afterwards, because it was just, he's throwing away points. But he's making mistakes, but I don't want to kind of go out and say, look, what do you do? Because it's only going to make it worse. I think Bobby either looks at replacement behind the scenes and get somebody in, but they're not, you know, goalkeepers don't come easy, don't come cheap. He's back to Liam. Liam has, to be fair, made some good saves early in the season, played very well against Corby first game. So he's got to kind of say, caught between a rock and a hard place, because, you know, if you lambast him, it's just going to make things worse. So I think he has to just be like, look, cut the errors out, you know, prove yourself as a good goalkeeper, I've backed you, or get somebody else in. And that's for Robbie to decide. But the rest of the team, you know, I think they played well. And we should have won the game. That's why it was frustrating, because that should have been 3 wins, really. And we've been very unlucky in times. We've hit the post and we've had chances. But what was disappointing was to say that they haven't really threatened. I think they had maybe one spell, like one off the line. But that, apart from that, they've done very little. I think they were there for the taking, which is why it's disappointing, because, you know, that really was 2 points dropped, even though we didn't lose. But the good news is, to say, it's a three-game run. We're in and around the playoffs. We've started to play well again. I think the side looks quite settled. We've got a good strength in depth, you know, but bearing in mind we were missing sort of four players yesterday. You know, we had Mo Salim, we had Towner suspended, Josh suspended, and Isaac wasn't around. So there's four players missing, and we've still played really well, and we've still got a good squad and a good bench. So I think the signs are very positive. It's just that we have to be a bit more clinical and put teams to bed, because if we'd got that second goal, they wouldn't have got anything from it, and that mistake wouldn't have cost us. As it happens, it has cost us, and that's why it's frustrating.
I mean, is it a concern if you look at the six games over September? You've had eight goals, four from Hall and four from Sharman. It's not a great haul of goals, and it kind of points to a problem in terms of nobody else scoring. Although, to be fair, Nelson Addy's got a couple in August, got three in August. So there are others there, but it doesn't look like prolific scoring.
I don't know. I think that you're always going to. I mean, look. The good thing is that the two that are getting the goals are the two strikers. You know, albeit Sharman playing sort of in a 10 midfield. But so really, you'd expect them to get the bulk of the goals. I think if you look at any big team, I mean, any level, that's where your goals come from. So the stat doesn't worry. I mean, yes, you want to chip in certainly. You know, Nelson, Abby's played. And has got forward and got goals. That doesn't worry me too much, because I think we've got goals across the team anyway. If you look at, you know, Nathan Olakami's got the winner against Bedford, and you know, people like that. There's a threat. So that doesn't. When it becomes an over reliance, perhaps you can point the finger. But I think the fact is they are scoring and they're getting chances between them both, and so that's not a worry so much. It's just perhaps the others do need to step up a little bit. But if it's better than not scoring at all. You know, if we're not getting goals from anywhere, then you start to worry. So it's not that. I think it's just, you know, defensively we've tightened up the last few games. And you said about September, you've got to remember two of the games were against higher league. One of them was in the League Cup, which, you know, isn't the priority necessarily, even though we played well in it. The other one was getting the FA Cup against us. So two of them were higher league opposition, and we've not been disgraced in either game. So it's been a funny month, but, you know, we've got to look forward and say, well, we've taken 7 points from nine. Could easily have been nine. So, you know, we are on the right trajectory. It's just, you know, I hope that doesn't come back to hurt us, because every point sort of does matter. So, you know, you just cut out the errors. It's just an individual error. That's all it is. That's the difference between between 3 points and one. So, just cut that out and we'll be fine. You know, we'll be going the right way again. I know that he'll be gutted for the lads, because, you know, that's an individual mistake, and he's going to have to sit and change it with them and have a look at them in the eye and go, you know, sorry, I've made a mistake. And I think that's, you cut that out, and we'll still be on the right path. So it's an interesting few weeks ahead. And, you know, as I say, we're turning the corner a little bit defensively, so I think if we can keep going, we'll be okay.
I mean, you know, as I say, it's easy to get concerned, but you are still sixth in the league, and game in hand over Welling immediately above you. So, I mean, it certainly isn't all doom and gloom, but it's perhaps kind of on the back of last season, perhaps people expecting it to, you know, to kick on and kind of you know, be up there in the top three spots, but some very good teams up there.
That's it. I mean, it's a good league. You know, look at the top two or three. I think you certainly expect Bromsgrove with their crowd. They get big crowds. Corby, I knew, would be a decent side. I think we got a very good draw with them early on. And they're the two that I would expect. Peterborough Sports, I think, are going to be a bit of an unknown, but clearly doing really well. They're in the FA Cup as well still. I think they're clearly going to be a good side. So, the usual suspects, really. But certainly, I think there's still a long way to go. You've got to remember, we haven't even played 10 games. That's the other thing. So, you know, last season we had a similar kind of start, in fairness, with points and stuff. So I think if we can put the run together again, it's just getting it. I think the team in the squad is better than it was last year. So if we can keep that going, it's about putting a run together. We started that now, and then, you know, if that keeps going, we will propel ourselves up. I think you judge it, you know, after 10 games, and then again, you know, sort of 10, 20, kind of in those increments, because that tells you the picture of the league. But it's already taking shape, and we are, you know, as you say, in around the top six. So it's doable, but we've got to just not drop points and put a, you know, three or four wins in a row is difficult to do, but if we did it, it completely changes the picture. So, you know, October's got some winnable games in it, and I think if we do that, then the signs will be good.
Okay, well, thanks very much for joining us, Steve. We'll try and get Robbie on the phone and put a couple of those questions to him. But cheers, thanks very much.
Thanks, Tim.
There we go. So let's see if we can get Robbie on the phone and chat to him about some of those questions. Okay, another ringing. Hey, Robbie, how you doing?
I'm very well, Tim. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I was saying, I don't know if you were listening to before, it was interesting that the Twitter response to what they saw as a poor performance and give, or rather as a very good performance but a poor result, giving the strength of the performance and the fact that you threw the points away, really.
Yeah, I share the frustration. You know, we completely dominated the game from probably start to finish, bar a 5-minute spell after half time. You know, one goal is never enough normally, you know, and it proved that on Saturday. You know, we Liam's held his hands up. You know, it's a bad mistake, but you know, we still have 35 minutes to get something out of the game. You know, we peppered their goal in the last, you know, 35 minutes, and you know, we've hit the post, we've had one off the line, and we've had many chances, and you know, it is really easy to point the finger, but I think sometimes collectively as a team you have to sort of say, well, because of how dominant we were, we should have scored more than one goal. You know, so yeah, it was, I did listen to a bit of Stephen's comp, like with you there, and it, you know, he's right, it did, you come away from that game feeling that it was a defeat, because of how dominant we were in the game. And you know, I think Liam's had not a lot to do in the whole game, so you know, it's frustrating, but the flip side is we haven't lost, it's another point, it's another good performance, and yeah, we're starting to get into a bit of a stride. You know, it's 3 games unbeaten, and we're looking into next week now, looking forward to another tough game against Yaxley.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one, Yaxley, isn't it? I mean, they've just lost to 18th place Aylesbury, losing 7-3. So on the face of it, you know, a game that they would have hoped to have done an awful lot better than that. But as you say, I mean, you know, you've not lost in the last 3 games. You know, there's certainly no panic even beginning to settle in at the moment. But you'll be looking forward to getting a result against them.
Yeah, without doubt, you know, and you know, every game we go into is the same. You know, we try not to worry about who we're playing. We worry about ourselves and doing the right things and the things that we know that we can affect. And you know, at the moment, we're just, you know, one mistake away at the moment. You know, but hopefully, good week training again this week, and yeah, we go again Saturday against, you know, a team that, you know, surprised I think everybody the result yesterday. So you know, they'll be looking to, you know, put things right against us next week.
Looking at the fixtures as well, you're kind of in the unusual position that you had a busy September with 6 games, including cup games, and you've got 6 games again in December, but only 3 games this month and 4 games in November. So, I mean, are you looking to fill those with a friendly game?
Well, we've got 4 in October because we've got the trophy game next Saturday. But yeah, it is difficult because, you know, you've got 7 days between each game, and it's so difficult trying to, you know, certainly manage what people do away from football. And, you know, games are where you get your fitness from, and it is really tough. You know, we've got, I think it's four less games this year, and, you know, the cup competitions are, you know, we're out of the FA Cup and we're out of the League Cup. So, you know, what we've got left now is what we've got, and we will be looking, you know, as we move into November, I'm sure looking to get one or two friendlies penciled in with teams who are in the same sort of boat as us. But the problem is getting someone to play you, because, you know, some of the leagues have got 21 teams, some have only got, not, you know, 20. So it's difficult trying to find somebody to play, but, you know, I'm sure we'll be able to get one or two games in and around November time.
Well, thanks very much for joining us, Rob. We will chat to you again next week. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thanks, Tim. Bye-bye.
There we go. So that's Cambridge City. Lance hasn't got back to me, so I'm guessing that means he's not actually available. So we've got a couple of minutes left just to fill in. So a mixed week for the women. As I said, Histon did lose to Bowers and Pitsy 2-0. United won 6-0 in at the FA Cup qualifying rounds. That's the first team, the development team, beat Ipswich 4-1, and City Ladies didn't appear to have a game. They're all in FA Cup action, I think, coming up. I think it is next week for most of them. It's the third qualifying round, so Histon have got Nettlesham. I'm sure it must be Nettlesham. That sounds better than Nettleham, but I've written down Nettleham. They beat Lee Ramblers, of course, in the second qualifying round. And Nettlesham are in the Midlands League, same level as them. United have got Stevenage, who think they've already played in the league, in the third qualifying round. And then City have got Accle United, who are in their league, but I don't think they've played them this year, but they did lose twice to them last season. They of course had that great win against Leighton Orient Ladies last time out, so good luck to all the women's teams for their FA Cup ties coming up. As I say, Stewie unfortunately not well, not able to join us this week, but hoping he's feeling better and will be joining us next week. Stay on board. It's the Big Band Show with John Hammond coming up between 7 and 8. And then Jackie Bond gives us Let the Good Times Roll between 8 and 9. Rebel Arts Radio, 9 till 10. And then Tom and the team, the Stagger team, 10 till 11. Before Lee Chambers rounds out Sunday evening, 11 till midnight with Bookmark. There we go. I mean, I have to go back to United, aren't we, just for the last minute. We'll see. I guess a lot will come from Forest Green on Tuesday. A, we'll see how many people aren't turning up to games. B, we'll see, you know, he dared them to perform like that last time, which was, I can't remember, what was the game? Just the week before, the one immediately before he got hired permanently. I can't remember now. So, but that was the last time he dared them to turn up and perform that badly. So it'll be interesting to see if they rise to the challenge a second time. If they don't, I guess it kind of just reinforces a lot of what we've said this time out, but hopefully they will do, and hopefully we'll see something from it. It would certainly be much more fun as a fan if we did see something from it, because we really don't want to do that. But thanks very much for joining us. We will see you all again next Sunday. Thanks very much indeed.